Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For those sitting in traffic, though, you know, I thought about this a little bit. I saw some people were tweeting pictures of sitting in traffic today, right now. Doesn't that
traffic
mean...
Traffic right now.
There is, yeah.
Yeesh.
There's already some...
Yeesh.
Doesn't that mean we're back, getting back to normal, though? We've longed to want traffic in our city again.
We had a little bit of this conversation, not to go too far behind the curtain, a little bit of this conversation yesterday with new head honcho Craig Riley.
Right.
About, you know, just looking at different ratings numbers and the number of people on the stream or the, you know, the video stream, whatever it may be. And yeah, there's more people getting back to life as usual, I guess, which is a good sign.
You know who may be sitting in traffic right now?
Head honcho Craig Riley.
412-928-9370 is that number. I have three questions. Three questions that I cannot answer. Let's get to the three questions. You okay
yep.
with that?
Let's
no
do it.
Cool sound effect. Nothing like that.
You don't even want to pull out the bell?
No.
You really like the bell.
I do like the bell. You think we should go with the
Give
bell?
Give him the bell.
Hold on. I got to find the bell. Then the bell, the bell, the bell. Okay, question one for the bell.
There we go.
Jeez.
Right. He loves it, man.
I do. Question one. So Mark Whipple, and I have been told, and this has been verified by people at Pitt, that there is some family illness happening in Mark Whipple's family. That being said, Mark Whipple has resigned. He's going to take, it looks like, it's just about to be figured all out today. That similar job in Lincoln, Nebraska, with mm-hmm. the University of Nebraska. That being said, the question that I can't understand in all of this, and I've asked some other people about this, if that illness and if this situation was so pressing to have Mark Whipple leave the University of Pittsburgh to not continue to work here, what does he gain then by taking a parallel job, and how can he attend to duties that he needs to if he takes that similar job in Lincoln, Nebraska? That's the head scratcher for me. For me, it would be an all or nothing, like, hey, I need to step away,
right,
or I can go ahead and work through this here in Pittsburgh.
And it's hard to get a true full judgment on, because we don't know the whole picture of what's going on with his family situation. So that being said, you know, it's not necessarily shocking that Mark Whipple is leaving Pitt and the role as offensive coordinator after this season. I think a lot of people saw that writing on the wall and expected it might happen this year, but they didn't think it was going to happen this way. They thought it would be a true retirement, you know, go out together with Kenny Pickett on a high note and then hang him up. He's in his 60s, right?
Yeah, not a lot of resume building at 64 years old,
right? The only thing I could come up with, Colin, is that Nebraska's throwing money at him. Like, it sounds like they've long had a pretty good pay rate for their coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there two coordinators ago, that guy, I can't remember his name, was making like $700,000, I read, which would be almost twice as much as Mark Whipple was reportedly making this year.
They are the state's only thing.
It's Lincoln.
Right.
It's Nebraska. That's all they got is the Cornhuskers and football. And especially with the program continuing to struggle to get out of the doldrums, maybe they say, hey, let's bring in some hot shot coordinators. Well, we got this guy, that guy. Hey, you know what? Nobody young and up and coming is really interested in coming here. Well, look what Whipple did with Kenny Pickett out in Pittsburgh this year.
And I think the Pittsburgh Panthers will be just fine if they do the right thing, and the right thing is hire Brennan Marion and just simply elevate him. I was told that he was, in terms of a practice coach and in terms of a game plan and in terms of suggesting play calls, doing a lot of different things already this year. That's the right move, and I think there can be continuity and there should be continuity with that this year, moving forward into the bowl game and then moving forward into next
year. We saw it as soon as Brent Marion was hired, that this was a guy who was headed on an upward trajectory.
Yeah.
So that would make a ton of sense.
The receiving core, the middle of the field was used more. The receiving core got better. The passing game got better. I refuse to believe it was all Mark Whipple, and I was told it wasn't all Mark Whipple. So we'll see how that goes. All right, that was question one. Question two that I don't have an answer for. How does, if at all, this affect Kenny Pickett in the bowl game? I don't know. I don't know. If Kenny Pickett looks at it and says, I don't have the guy who was the offensive coordinator, I'm not going to go play in the bowl game. Or I'm going to play in the bowl game now. That's fine. Brendan Marion's still around. Or it doesn't affect me at all. It's the same offense. Who knows? I'm going to make the calls at the scrimmage line.
If he was on the fence, and again, I don't have any inside information, but I suspect Kenny Pickett wants to play in this game. But if he was on the fence at all, Mark Whipple leaving, I can't imagine, would make the decision any easier. Again, we've talked about this. If I were advising him, and I'm curious to pick Doug Whaley's brain later when he's in studio for the 9 o'clock hour, if I were advising Kenny Pickett, I'd advise him not to play in this game. But I don't blame him at all. In fact, I admired a little bit that he does probably want to play in this game so much that I don't think the Whipple decision will affect
him. Yeah, I probably lean there. This isn't waffling or wavering with the Kenny Pickett decision in the bowl game. I honestly mean this. I could see absolutely both sides of it. If he chooses one or the other, you don't get a gripe from me.
Like, oh, yeah. No, I have no complaints, and I would do the exact – like I said, if I were advising him, if I were lucky enough to be Kenny Pickett's agent, I'd say, Kenny, you got to protect yourself. You cannot play in this game. You got to get ready for the Senior Bowl and the Combine and the draft.
I have three questions, the third of which will come your way in just a moment. Follow us on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Question three that I can't answer, and it involves this quote from Ben Roethlisberger yesterday at his practice session media soiree. Here's Ben.
Chiropractors, masseuses, training staff, getting in the pools and just doing whatever you can to get yourself ready. Everyone has to do this, you know, throughout the year. I don't think anybody really likes it except for the NFL and all the money that they make.
Firing a dart. Now, I get
it. With the nervous laughter.
Now, listen, now there's something serious here. Now, I can understand the concerns of the NFL players in regard to Thursday night. These Thursday night games go back to 2006. They've expanded. They've become big. People at first were like, I don't know. Now, what Ben says is echoed by a lot of NFL players. The league cares most about money. But how about this? Instead of complaining in December about it, as many players do or throughout the course of the season, do something in the boardroom at CBA time. You like to complain, and I'm not pointing the finger at Ben. I'm saying the players collectively. You like to complain, but you also love the financial benefits too. Instead of talking with your mouth, talk with your John Hancock and don't put it on a piece of paper when it comes time. Say, you know what? We're not playing Thursday night because our health and safety mean it. There just seems to be a lot of hypocrisy at play. They hate it, but they don't hate it enough to not do it because of the money coming in.
I think if we look at them as one giant constituency, which they are for purposes of negotiating the CBA, you're right. It seems to be hypocritical. But I also think this comes back to that traditional schism that's existed in the NFLPA between the guys who know, I've got to get what I can get in my 3.5-year career expectancy and get out, and the guys who are established veterans. A guy who's been in the league for over 15 years now, in Ben Roethlisberger's case, who have plenty put away and are like, man, what are we playing on Thursdays for? When guy number 52, 53 on the roster are like, hey, I'll play in Nome, Alaska at midnight on a Wednesday.
I wish someone would say that. I wish somebody would say, you know, I hate the Thursday night game, but I'm only in the league X amount of years, and I got to get mine. So it's one you take on the chin in order to get rich playing this game.
But didn't we see that schism really highlighted in the last CBA negotiations? And I think it really does. That's what it comes down to, is there is such a disparity between a guy making $15, $16 million a year, basically getting a seven-figure check every week during the season, to a guy who might make $100,000 if he can just hang on to the practice squad all year, right? Or half the year. And that disparity, I think, is, you know, it's on the NFLPA to bring those two sides closer together before they then go to the league
right,
and negotiate these deals and say, listen, We understand there's a ton of money in Thursday night football, but it's beating our guys up, especially the guys who make the big money and who are out there every single week.
And all
week.
The league's health studies say there's just a very small spike in injuries. It's nothing that's alarming. The players say, but that's not an accurate barometer. The way that we play, the way that our bodies hurt, they don't show up, and we just get out there and grit. So it's not necessarily going to show in what your reports are. Now, the one guy that has spoken out about things a while ago and that acted without signing was Ryan Clark, if you remember, way back in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't want to call people hypocrites, but for me, it's hard to complain when you're also jumping on that bus, too.
I get what you're saying. I think ultimately the votes that end up happening on these things, you know, guys don't want to be the only one. They don't want to be the Ryan Clark. They don't want to be the outlier who doesn't approve. Now, look, by the same token, we've seen that this team in particular is not afraid of speaking up and not ratifying the CBA,
correct,
right? So that in and of itself shows you that even amongst the haves and the have-nots around the league, you can have a team where there are haves and have-nots and everybody agrees, no, we don't like this. It's just there's such a schism in that Players Association that I think they've got to, if they're really going to put up a fight against the idea of Thursday night football, which a lot of veteran players would like to see, they're going to have to come together more on that issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it might involve, and they don't want it to be a work stoppage. Mm. I mean, it would be something there. They're not going to go there. It's just, it is something that we hear a lot about, but it seems to be a lot of talk and not a lot of action because everything's driven by cash.
Oh, yeah.
Give me that cash.
Ultimately, when you show the guys what a $1 billion TV
yes.
contract looks like and how it splits up between the 1,600 dudes playing in the league.
I get some of that?
Wait, I get 0.01% of that? Yes, and look how much it is.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Wednesday at 2 p.m. in a parking lot? Sure.
Get money coming up in just a moment. And then is one thing a figure of speech, or can you really apply it to your life? Like, would you do this if you had to? And I'll tell you what that is. Coming up at 6:30 this morning. I have a question for you, that if something is just a figure of speech or you could actually apply it to your real life. We'll get into that in just a couple minutes, but we get into this right now. We get into some money. Let's go. Get money.
Get money. Get money. Get money.
I got one, I think. Now, I have... apologies to our friend and big-time listener, Mallory in Annapolis, who's a Naval Academy grad. I've not seen as poor of a Navy team in a while as this.
They're bad this year?
Yeah, they're not good. It just never clicked for them this year. I've watched a couple different Navy games, and they're just not... my man Ken might not have it together anymore down there at the Academy. They're generally so fun to watch, and they've just been kind of sloppy. In that offense, okay. It's got to click like...
it's got to be clockwork, efficiency.
Yeah,
everybody hits at the exact right spot at the exact right time.
Not to make Army great, but I think they're definitely better and better than the 7.5 right now that it's projected to be for this game. I think Army, and again, I think that each team, when Army plays Navy, the average amount of plays each team runs is like 12. I mean, so it's not like you're going to run 7 million plays because of the offenses that they run.
Right.
There's a minute and a half in between each play in these games. Still, I think Army will find it within them to be able to distance themselves by at least 7.5. I think this number might even grow to 8 or 8.5 as we get closer to the game. Jump on Army minus 7.5 right now. I like Army.
Okay. I like a handful of short road underdogs this week in the NFL. And I'm not going to tell you to go all in on every single one of these. I do have one that I'm already in on that I'll tell you to jump in on if you want to. But just look at it. I mean, you got the Steelers in Minnesota tomorrow night. You know Minnesota only plays close games. Steelers are getting 3. I like that if they just go with the same offense they rolled out there in the fourth quarter against Baltimore. You've got another short road dog, Baltimore, getting 2.5 at Cleveland. You're giving the Ravens points at Cleveland. I think I'm keeping an eye on that. Falcons getting 2.5 at Carolina. Yeah, Carolina just fired their offensive coordinator. They're a disaster. And what's the last one? Oh, San Francisco getting a point at Cincy. We don't know what Joe Burrow's hand looks like. And Rams short dogs at Arizona. But the one I'm in on already, Buffalo getting 3 at Tampa. I think Buffalo bounces back. They've had that pattern the last 7 or 8 weeks of lose, come back, put 30-plus on the board. Lose, come back, put 30-plus on the board. I think they've averaged somewhere close to 36 points following a loss this year. So get in on Buffalo plus 3 at Tampa.
Yeah, and they're better away, it seems like.
Yes.
Buffalo is. So I like that bet, and I like that bet a lot. What do you got back there, producer Matt? You doing all right? But you're working hard, man.
Jim just called me and said that he's got TJ Watt cuts that he forgot to put in there that are in there now, so we've got access to that.
We also have the access to the TJ Watt cut where he flamed Jim, which we'll play a little bit later today when Jim gets in here.
Completely interrupted him.
Yeah, I need Jim's take on that, and we'll hear that just past Ray Fittipaldo time in the 8 o'clock hour.
Did you hear him try to tell the story yesterday with Pony and Mueller?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah. I want him to rehash all of this
we'll
for our audience this morning because Jim's kind of all over the place. Cool.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so Pony is headed to Minneapolis for this football game, right? He's headed up there to watch the Steelers and the Vikings. I think that's pretty cool. Go to
beautiful
a different venue.
Twin Cities.
Yeah. Now, I have been to Minneapolis, St. Paul a couple times. I find it to be a mix between, like, Portland and Chicago. It's cool.
I've never been up there.
It's really in the springtime. It's really cool. They have Minneapolis has a cool downtown. They have a lot of restaurants, like open air, and you walk right down. St. Paul's a cool old school kind of grittyish town.
Like a Fort Worthish kind of deal.
More like a Milwaukee-ish kind of town, like an old schooler.
That's not bad,
it almost
though.
Feels like a Rust Belt, not Rust Belt, but like a Milwaukee or Chicago kind of town to me. St. Paul does. But trendier. So I thought it was really cool. I think it's a cool place. But again, in the spring, what I'm getting at is this. I saw somebody in Pony said, I'm coming up to Minneapolis. And this was on Twitter. And a guy responded, I'm already up here for work. Man, it's brutal. And this was yesterday. There was that dusting of snow on the ground. You could just see in the picture that it was cold. And the guy said, it's like 9 degrees up here today. Be ready. Oof. So I checked the forecast this morning. Right now in Minneapolis, it's 6 degrees right now. And it just frigid up there. So I again, in the springtime and in the fall, Minnesota's a beautiful place. Just don't give it to me right now. So you hear this term sometimes, right, from some people, and you wonder if it's a figure of speech or it's an accuracy. If you really put people's feet to the fire, if you heard when people say, you couldn't pay me enough to live there.
Couldn't pay me a million bucks, I wouldn't live there.
Uh-huh. Let's take the lower 48. Let's take, because we'll take like Barrow, Alaska and stuff out of it. Okay. If I push forth the proposition, and I'm not, you know, if I paid you an astronomical sum, then that skews this. So let's say, let's pay $1 million.
Okay.
So let's say I said to you, for $1 million, is there anywhere in the lower 48, $1 million per year, that you wouldn't work? A lot of people can work from home now. You wouldn't even have to work, right?
Right.
Just here's $1 million that gets triggered into your bank account on January 1st at 12:01 every year. Is there anywhere you wouldn't live?
I don't think so. Like, the only place that comes to mind, I've never been there, but I've had family tell me that Laredo, Texas is just an absolute dump and, like, not a place you want to be. I'm thinking of, like, weird.
And I'm
remote
not saying you have to live
in
like in
woods.
A certain house in a certain neighborhood.
Right.
Just the city.
In that city. Yeah. No, I don't. You give me $1 million, I could live at just about anywhere.
I don't know if I could do it in way remote places. Like, I like to visit there.
Okay.
I don't know if you can drop me in the middle of
Montana somewhere.
Idaho, Montana, one of the Dakotas, you know, where it's barren and there's not a lot going on.
Somewhere
now,
just outside of Bozeman.
But the scenery's beautiful there, so I could look. But, like, somewhere in, like, the Badlands, like, way, I couldn't do it. I don't think I could do it.
See, but I think because of technology and the way it is now, you can still, even in the middle of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
you can still get some of the, you know, some of the comforts of home, for lack of a better way to put it, right? Like, if you wanted to, you could watch whatever you want, right? You could watch things from, like, let's say you're from Pittsburgh and you move to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
You're Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton has a huge place in Montana, right? He's a Pittsburgher, though. Still loves to watch Pirate games and Steeler games. He can do all that. It's like he's living in Mars, right? Because he's just got a really nice house, and there happens to be some trees around. So that you eliminate some of those roadblocks to not feeling like the same comfort level.
Do you
right?
eliminate New York City because all it gets you is a one bedroom apartment that's only, you know,
for just a month,
300 square feet?
Yeah.
Maybe or not. I don't. That's the one of the questions for me is New York City.
Really?
Yeah, I love New York City.
I love it too.
But is $1 million enough to be comfortable?
Well, no, you'd have to get a job.
Right.
Yeah. No, like, you'd be able to live there for a year on $1 million.
You have to wonder how long you could do it. So that's one of the places I couldn't. I don't think I could do the Dakotas.
There's nothing there.
I need human interaction, even if I don't interact with humans. As crazy as that sounds. I need them.
But see,
I don't like interacting with a lot of humans, but I like having them around.
In the Dakotas, though, your money's going to go a long way.
I understand.
You don't
that.
Need to work. You could literally just travel around the Dakotas. Like, we're not limited to just staying in our house in our city where we said you couldn't pay us $1 million to live. Right.
But you can't fly out every day and go to Sarasota.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. Matt, where are you on this? Is there anywhere if I said to you, and you hear the term, like I said, you couldn't pay me enough to live there? Is that true? If I gave you, just $1 million, would you say, and I said, you have to live in Pocatello, Idaho, would you do it?
Initially, I was with Chris and said, you know what? There probably isn't a place where I wouldn't live. But the more I think about it, I mean, there are some really remote places in the United States. Like, I was in South Dakota. We had a mission trip there, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, maybe even longer than that. And there is... I mean, there's nothing out there.
There's some people that drive 45 minutes to get to a Walmart.
Yeah. Like, you're going 90 down the road, and it feels like you're going 30 because there's just nothing there.
Nothing.
Right. And so I find that to be a figure of speech. When people say that, you couldn't pay me enough to live there.
Now, I don't think, look, you could pay me. I would take your $1 million.
For some people, they would do it in a minute. But for some people, it isn't a figure of speech.
But there are places where... I would be choking on that $1 million, right? Like, oh my God, I can't believe I did. Like, you tell me to live, and again, you got to live there year round, right?
Uh-huh.
I know some people love the Jersey Shore. The Jersey Shore between the months of like September
right now it
and
sucks.
June, it literally 9 months a year. Who wants to live in Asbury Park?
Right.
No thanks. It's freezing cold. There's a beach there that I can't use. It brings in terrible weather. No thanks. So there are places where I would have a hard time. I still think I'd take the $1 million, though.
You know how hard a life it is right now in the middle of Vermont or New Hampshire?
Ugh.
Seriously.
Or one of those little coastal towns up in Maine.
Or one that's up by Montreal. Like, that's you know,
some
right
remote
there on the
outpost,
yes,
right on the border.
Maine.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I'm not reading your ones that say McKeesport. No. No, stop.
Wait,
it.
That presumes anyone still lives in McKeesport.
Stop it. Oh, man. But yeah, I wanted to push forth that exercise because, you know, I thought of that when I saw that picture of Minnesota this morning. It's 6 degrees there. And again, it's a brilliantly beautiful place in the spring. Man, is Minneapolis just a nice city? It's beautiful. But right now, no thank
you.
Does it have, like, Winnipeg, like, the system of tunnels and stuff to get around in the frigid cold, or, like, walkways between buildings and stuff?
I've never been there in the frigid cold.
Okay.
So I don't know. Every time I've been there, it's been nice design.
Because some cities, like Winnipeg, I'll use as the example, they have, like, the tunnels where you don't have to be out in the frigid cold. But
only a lunatic would ever want to go to Winnipeg by choice.
This is true.
I never would want to go there by choice.
I've heard it's beautiful, though.
Yes. All right. So there's that. This is crazy coincidence. And maybe I just never noticed it before. Now, my kids get home from school, and at about 4 o'clock the day before, I ask them. It's gone a step further now. Whenever the lunch menu comes out for the month, mm-hmm. my son, he decides the day before. My daughter, she's like my wife. She is so organized.
Planner.
Like, oh, she's ridiculous mm-hmm. about it. She gets the school lunch menu like the 28th or whatever of the month before that it posts. She prints it out. She gets a highlighter and highlights all the stuff that she wants to buy. And then I know that the stuff that the days that she'll have to pack is when there's not a highlighted thing.
Right.
So if it's highlighted that it's like, I don't know, whatever.
Chicken nugget day.
Yeah, if that's highlighted, there's no lunch that needs to be packed. If there's no highlighter, that means I need to pack a lunch.
Okay.
So today, the 8th day of December, I look at the lunch calendar. Toasted cheese sandwich. It says.
No, it doesn't.
I promise you. I tweeted it out even. Toasted cheese sandwich, it says.
Are you serious?
I had never, ever, ever seen. I mean, I had old school wise, but the fact that we just talked about this, okay? The fact that we just talked about this, that it's clearly grilled cheese, and Ron and Joe were talking about it and referring to it as toasted cheese. Now, she opted to pack today along with my son. Neither wanted the toasted cheese sandwich with or alternate entree, choice of milk, and tomato soup. It just totally fascinated me that the school is calling it toasted cheese. I didn't know
now,
how to take it.
This may technically be correct. Remember,
but it's a grilled cheese.
It's a grilled cheese, but they probably put a cheese on a slice of bread,
uh-huh.
and then roll it through like some kind of big industrial toaster, and then slap another slice of toasted bread on top of it and call it grilled cheese.
I bet they put it together before they put it through the toaster.
They might even do that. Yeah,
and then So
technically, they're right.
It's toasted cheese.
Toasted cheese.
There we go. Ron.
Sexy Ron showed up for his toasted cheese.
What if my daughter had a highlighter on that thing, and she went up to the principal and was like, I'm going to have a guest for lunch today. We're going to have a special guy come in for lunch today. He's going to give a speech after.
Toasted cheese.
And it's Ron. Ron, a guy from my dad's work.
Hey, kids.
Yes. And after this,
let me tell you about
Domenico's
the 2004
has a better
Pitt
one.
Panthers.
I know. This Pitt team's good, but they
They're
don't
nothing
hold a
compared
can.
To the guy I didn't vote for the Heisman.
And after this, I'm going straight to Domenico's. Anyway, Twitter poll, let's go.
Come on, everybody, let's tweet.
Yeah. Twitter it.
Tweets that are rocking. It's time for the Fan Morning Show's Twitter poll.
All right, daily Twitter poll from yesterday. Are the New England Patriots the best team in the AFC? 51.6% of you said yes. 48.4% of you said no, they are not. Today's daily Twitter poll, vote when you get an opportunity. It's a simple one. We put it together pretty much every week like this during the football season, at least one day during the week. Straight up, Steelers, Vikings, who you got? 72% say Steelers, 28% say Vikings, and I think the Vikings are favored by a field goal
yep.
in this football game right now. All right, CBS put something together that's great, that's fascinating. And I don't understand why the world isn't functioning like this. So the 2021 college football playoff field, it's set, and the four teams were chosen, not a whole lot of controversy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they put together a proposed formula by a playoff working group in June that would expand to 12 teams. They've been talking to people. They put their little caucus together. And here's what it would look like, okay? Now, the top four conference champions, let's say that it was a 12-team playoff. The top four conference champions would get byes. Meaning even a team like this year's Georgia squad that finished 12-1, they wouldn't be eligible to be one of those top four because they lost
the SEC
championship.
You got to win your conference to get the bye.
Teams ranked 5-8 would host teams ranked 9-12 in an on-campus game in the first round. Then quarterfinals would be played at bowl sites. Right?
But if you win your conference, Power 5 conference, you're guaranteed to be in. right?
You're guaranteed to be in if you win the Power Five.
All right.
So the top four teams that would get byes would be Alabama, Michigan, Cincinnati, and Baylor under format.
Okay.
Yep. Well, they won the Big 12.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Georgia, it will go 5 through 12. Georgia, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, Michigan State, Utah, and Pitt would be 12. Hmm. So the first round matchups would be Ole Miss, Oklahoma State would be 8-9 with the winner playing number one Alabama. 5-12, Georgia, Pitt, obviously at Georgia, with the winner playing Baylor.
Okay.
6-11, Notre Dame, Utah, it's Salt Lake, with the winner playing Cincinnati.
Well, that one would be in South Bend, right? Because Notre Dame's the
higher ranked. Oh, pardon me. Pardon me. In South Bend.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
Ohio State, Michigan State in Columbus, the winner playing Michigan. So that whole bracket, a Big Ten thing, but you can have rematches.
Yeah.
Regular season.
You're going to run into that.
Especially with the Power Five conferences. Okay. That whole situation, the way that it is with 12 teams that I just outlined, if the whole world looks at that and goes, that's great, that's desirable, that's incredible the way you're doing it to meet it out to 12, and you have that the neutral site second round stuff, and you get your champion, and everybody loves it. It's going to have more high profile games. It's going to bring in a ton of money, and people love it. Why can't we do this?
Oh, it'll be done in 3 or 4 years. I think my only gripe with this system. Actually, I have two gripes. My first gripe is I think your conference champions should, if they're not in the top four, so whether it's one or two or three conference champions that otherwise get in, they should get a home game. Their first round game should be at home. And then the quarterfinal games, the ones where the top four.
So, Alabama should get a home game more so than Ole Miss should get a home game?
Well, for example, and it's not just because it's Pitt, but Pitt and Utah should get home games, right? They should be 5 and 6 as opposed to Georgia and then who's 6? Notre Dame.
Right.
Because they won their conference. And then, seed all the conference winners first based on their ranking, and then seed the quote-unquote wild card teams.
But I can already hear the Notre Dame fans, we don't have a conference.
Well, tough. Join one then.
Yeah.
Join one.
I think that would force them to join one,
yes,
wouldn't it?
See, I'm big on, I'm fine with Notre Dame not being in a conference. If I'm Notre Dame and they're not forcing you to join one and you can have your cake and eat it too, why would you? I don't like Notre Dame, but until they're forced to, why would you do it?
Well, this would kind of force their hand, though.
Not if they would be picked like this.
If they'd have to finish top four.
It would force them to play really well in the regular season all the time.
Yes, but here's the catch. In this system where I'm talking about giving the other conference winners a home game in that first round, Notre Dame still gets a home game. They
Correct.
Just get bumped down a couple spots.
Right.
And then I think the quarterfinals, rather than doing them at bowl sites, I think is proposed in this story, I'd still save the bowl sites for the semifinals and the championship. Think about a quarterfinal playoff matchup, Oklahoma State or Ole Miss going into Tuscaloosa. Because those top four teams that get the bye, they should get a home game.
That's what I'm saying there.
Yeah,
Ole Miss gets to play at home, but Alabama never does.
Right. That doesn't make sense. But the 12-team format, the general guideline of how they lay it out here does make a ton
of
sense.
So make the semifinals bowl games.
Right, which they are now
neutral
anyway.
Neutral sites.
Yeah.
And then the championship at Indianapolis or
wherever it might
be
that year.
Okay. I mean, this makes a lot of sense. You're going to have to forego. Well, you have to get rid of the conference championships to do this.
I don't think so.
I think you can still run it out through the conference championship.
And I've seen proposals where everybody would – they can make it work where everybody would still get Army-Navy weekend off, and that would still be the lone game that weekend. And then next weekend we would be jumping into the playoffs. So think about it.
Would you get your in-season off week then?
Yeah, I think they'd still be able to make it fit because you'd play, for example, this year, the quarterfinal or the first round, if we want to call it that, would be December 18th. Then your quarterfinals would be the following weekend, Christmas weekend. Well, then all of a sudden it's New Year's Day and there's your semifinals, which is where they're at right now anyway, New Year's Eve. And then you still play the national championship when it's played. You really don't have to shake up the schedule all that much to fit this in.
Well, then if it's more excitement, it's a bracket. People love win in advance. People love bracket. People love do or die. It's why the
That's
NFL
it.
Playoffs are so incredible.
Why baseball wants to have 37 wild card
games. Yeah, then why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing this? Gosh, I love the Peach Bowl. It's great. The man we had on, wonderful. But you know there's a finite end to whether you win 48-10 or lose 48-10, especially if you win 48-10.
And who won the Peach Bowl last year?
Right.
Seriously. No idea.
No idea.
And here's the thing. You don't have to get rid of the bowl system to do this. You can knock off a handful of games, obviously, but you could still have your random Camella bowls and holiday bowls and sun bowls and all that stuff to fill out the rest of the schedule.
Camella Cabello Bowl. Man. Oh, man.
There's just no Sean Mendez there
right.
anymore.
Yeah, that all went to hell, huh?
I guess.
That's what I hear.
Right, two hot people broke up. I'm sorry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.